Today, Tony LeCantro's End of Year Musings. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, writing our latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And I'm joined by Tony LeCantro from Alto Capital. Hello, Tony.
G'day, Martin. Bit of a shorter gap this time.
Yeah, well, the last one was quite a long gap, yeah. But here we are, heading towards the end of the year, and I guess time for some reflections and some thoughts about next year and maybe a little bit of a lighter touch tonight.
Yeah, I got a bit of feedback from viewers last time that I was angry. used the term assertive, basically saying Australia's middle class get heading towards being wiped out makes me assertive, and I'm 100% in my convictions, but I promise to be more relaxed today.
Yeah. Now, there were a few people who felt that it was pretty straight down the barrel, you know, but the evidence is still quite compelling in terms of the, you know, the pressures on households, the amount of debt that's in the system, the fact that incomes haven't risen, you know, all of those factors. And yet we've got the situation where home prices may or may not be going up, but certainly the lending side of it's definitely firing a bit stronger. So there's a lot of worrying signs and very myopic, I think, from a government perspective in terms of trying to deal with all the really significant issues that we actually face as a country.
There's not a lot that we can do. And after the last interview, I had some calls from some people that up to $2 million in savings in the bank. And actually, I stayed at the Manly Pacific recently, and I had a couple come and see me who have got $2 million mainly in Westpac, and they're scared. And here you have a middle-aged couple that have worked hard all their lives, got $2 million, and all they're doing is stressing. And they said, well, how can you help us? How can we make money in a low interest rate environment? Yeah. And what happens if the shit hits the fan with the banks? Yeah. So anyway, that was my trip to Manly anyway.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I get that quite a lot from people who say, you know, there's lots of worrying signs around. And, of course, Westpac got pinged with another fine today from yet another bad piece of behaviour. So there's a bit of consistency there in terms of the major banks in particular, you know, not doing the right thing by their customers and now being pinged. I have to say, though, the size of the penalty was very low. And I said to somebody on Twitter today, well, you know, it's almost like the cost of doing business. It's just so small, it's hardly noticeable. But these things do add up, and it really goes to the lack of confidence, I think, in our major banks at the moment. And I see that through a lot of people. But then, of course, the question is, well, if you actually steer away from them, you know, where do you go? Because, you know, there are a few other players, smaller players, credit unions, building societies, who I personally think are actually worth looking at because a lot of their products are better than the big guys. They've got a more focused view in terms of customer outcomes and less driven by profit. But beyond that, it gets pretty tricky.
Definitely. And I had a conference call with another couple who one of them spends his life working out where he's got $250,000 in each account. So I actually found the Macquarie Bank, which was quite a relief. So they put, yeah, another $500,000 into them. So it's just ridiculous. And you look at the economic figures and they are truly shithouse. And even Stephen Kokoulis admits that, yet he's advocating there's no wrong time to buy a house. Well, Martin, I call bullshit to that. Because if you were around in 1880 and you bought a property in Melbourne at the Great Land Boom, it took you 70 years in real prices to get your money back. Yep. And that spike was caused by the end of World War II when men came home and looked to build families and houses. So the real growth of a house should be anemic and wages have gone nowhere. They're probably going lower, but it's all debt. It's just this debt tsunami. And it just leads Australians into this false belief that property goes up forever. But we're completely rooted.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was a BIS report that came out quite recently making some international comparisons, right? And we win the prize for the most leveraged households from a debt servicing ratio in the world. Well, there's nobody else who's above us, right? And we're number two on debt to GDP after Switzerland. Well, there's some unique things about Switzerland. So yeah, we have an extremely a large debt burden relative to our population. And the other thing that's coming through my surveys now, which is quite interesting, that there was a little bit of a wobble about 2 or 3 months ago when people started to say, well, maybe I will think about transacting, you know, either the end of this year or into next year. But I've noticed in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, that intention to transact is now decaying again, right? And when you actually ask the question, so, you know, what's changed? It's essentially now people feeling less comfortable with the broader economic outcomes and settings that they're seeing. They're more concerned about the political management of the country. And they're also not convinced that property prices are going to go up necessarily. So, you know, it's not a lay down mazare to go transact. Now, that's really interesting, because if that's true, then this was a bit of a bull's rush and it's going to disappear. And therefore, we're going to go down next year rather than up next year. So I think people need to be really, really cautious. Now, I've said quite a few times, look, if you're a property purchaser looking for somewhere to live and you can take the risk that property values could fall, and they could fall quite significantly, right? But if you think of property as somewhere to live and it's, you know, shelter and those sorts of things, then, you know, maybe do something. But if you are really thinking about it as an investment set, it doesn't pass muster as far as I can see.
No, definitely not. And I've actually come back to Twitter. I was getting sent tweets from certain economists who I won't name. They're having a laugh at my expense, and it was especially after I put out my stock market predictions.
Right.
And then this economist is talking about his race horsing empire. Now, what's more speculative, a horse or finding small companies? So I came back under Tony LeCantre. I'm back on Twitter. So I've gone from 6,000 followers to 222. But you're right. There is no need to transact. I've been in Sydney 3 times the last few months. I just love Perth now. And I put down that Balcatta in Perth is a suburb to watch. I mean, you're 10 kilometres from the city, 9 kilometres to the beach and 6 kilometres to a shopping centre, and you can buy a renovated 3-bedroom home on a decent-sized block for about $320,000.
Mm.
And you live the life of Riley here. We've got good road systems. We've got great weather. Instead, you know, smoking a pipe every day in Sydney. So that's the difference. And your viewers have to realise that at one point, Perth was more expensive than Sydney,
yep,
albeit briefly.
Yep.
So what are you going to do? You're going to pay 11.6 times your income to buy in Sydney. I mean, I got the train out to Penrith. I saw all those houses. And you look at Mount Druitt, which is $630,000 median price. It's 50% more than Perth.
Yep.
I mean, get real. Yeah. I don't want to sound too miserable, but my forecast for Sydney housing is a mild 12% drop. I did get it wrong this year. It was looking likely that a drop would happen, but obviously the sure thing Labor government lost. Rates declined. But if you believe Nerida Conisbee over CoreLogic, the rise wasn't that much. And to me, it's just a continuation of the bull trap, as I stated. But, yeah, 12% down for Sydney next year. Melbourne, maybe 10. That's my call.
Okay. No, fair enough. And that's still within your envelope overall of over 2 or 3 years. You know, 40% still, you know, still in the ballpark, right, if that's true.
Well, Cook wrote an article saying, due to the dead cat bounce, that he's going to collect the money. I mean, if I lose, I'm happy to lose that bet, but it's the principle of not telling mainstream Australia what I believe to be complete bullshit, where he's got an economy built on nothing except debt, and where it's just, I can't have that. So it's more of the principle, Martin, and I'm glad you didn't take the bet. Coop's had a lot of fun at my expense, but anyway, well, yeah, what I'm doing is my stocks will come good, so $2,500, it'll be fine.
Yeah. And it's interesting just talking about Perth for a minute, because the ABS published some of the population statistics today for this year. And they were actually quite interesting, right? Because basically we had a population growth which was relatively high. It was twice the migration population growth as to natural homegrown growth, so 220,000, 230,000 migrants in. But what was also interesting is that the net migration to the West is negative. So, in fact, there are now more people leaving the West and coming over east where I actually think that if you say with prices so low over there and everything else, you know, it's probably a good time to be going west.
It is, but don't tell anyone.
Okay.
I love being able to go anywhere. I mean, I can pretty much walk into the city. A two-bedroom unit here, near brand new, $350 a week, and you walk everywhere, and you've got a bus to the beach. I mean, if you're an Uber driver earning $8 an hour in Sydney, why wouldn't you move your family west, or a family of people that work in McDonald's? Transfer. I mean, life's too short to be a debt slave 60 kilometres from the CBD, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. There's a lot of people, certainly in my surveys, who are out in those outer lying suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne, who are now finding that the economics of commuting, the economics of trying to maintain the lifestyle, just aren't working anymore, simply because incomes have not grown in real terms for a good number of years now. Cost of living is still rising. Even things like the toll costs are rising when you drive around the place. You know, they're not insubstantial now. So put it all together and the economics just don't work. So that's one of the reasons why properties on the outer suburban fringe of Sydney and Melbourne are actually not looking anything like positive, right? There's still a lot of evidence that I'm seeing that prices over in those areas are still falling. And I think they will continue to fall because the economic proposition just doesn't make any sense.
No, and I think, you know, you've got your tolls, which we don't have here. We only have pokies at the casino. So, and we have a Labor government here, but we actually like them. They seem to be doing a good job and they're building the airport train. But my argument is, if you're commuting 3 hours in Sydney, I hope that you're listening to some decent podcasts, get yourself educated, instead of listening to the, you know, Kyle and Jackie O, which is utter rubbish. But I shouldn't say that, but the guy's not funny.
Well, indeed. And just in terms of, you know, your thoughts with regard to the stock market, right? Because essentially we've got pretty high prices in Australia. We've got massively high prices in the US. Do you think those are sustainable, or do you think we're in for a bit of a bath there as well?
Well, I look at our index, which is mainly financials and the large resource companies, and I wouldn't go anywhere near the banks. The banks have been sells for about 4 years. Admittedly, Westpac, when I put a sell on it originally, was about $35. It's now in the 20s. I think the US market is massively overvalued. I think what I want to see it do is go sideways to lower for a year. But then, you know, you've got people predicting the Dow. The Dow's the most poorly put together index I've ever seen. I actually wrote a paper on it years ago. But I just think the ASX 200, 300, it's going to be companies outside the banks. I think the stock market's always a good place for a stock picker. The gold sector has been where it's at. I mean, I said switch out of banks into gold in late 2014. And people looked at me and said, well, you're crazy, because I actually thought about it. But, I think that what I'm seeing is, from my interview and talking to people, they're all buying gold because it's going to maintain its purchasing power. And if our dollar drops against the US, there's some upside as well. So I think what you're seeing is a lot of people that have worked hard, got millions of dollars, aren't living their lives. They're just panicking. So I treat the stock market as a mechanism to buy a good company. I mean, I've been advising 21 years. I've been through dot-com, September 11, the tsunamis, all this political instability. But I wouldn't be buying a set of bank stocks now. No, no way.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably right. And, you know, you look at the net interest margins under which they're operating at the moment, the fact that there's still more regulatory pain to come, but the capital ratios will be lifted, I think, ahead. It's interesting watching New Zealand, of course, because New Zealand, the Reserve Bank there, have really now started to impose themselves on the New Zealand subsidiaries of the Australian banks with higher capital there. I think banks are going to find it really, really tough to be able to turn anything like the returns that they're used to. And certainly quite a few people I talk to who will watch the banks are saying, no, returns are going to be way down. And of course, the prices are quite a lot lower compared with where they were. And what's interesting about that, Tony, is that if you look at the ASX, right, the financial sector is a huge proportion of the ASX, firstly. And secondly, up until quite recently, the dividends out of the financial sector was nearly 48, 49% of total dividends. It was massive. right? So if they do go off the boil, as we think they will, that's going to have a significant impact on the overall index as well.
I think so. And as I said in the previous interview, that the chase for capital gains will make the ASX turn into the wild, wild west, as far as I'm concerned. You saw that during the NASDAQ bubble. Blue chips did nothing, but people were buying shitty companies with a web address and a hope. So I think you're going to see that again. But, yeah, it's crazy times, and there's no precedence. We haven't seen this before. And I'm just sticking to my guns. I mean, I know that I've learnt to talk assertively, and I believe it. And even though it's taken its time, I mean, I always go back to The Big Short, Martin. Michael Burry, he was sitting there playing his drums. He got mad, but it came to fruition. Then at the end of the movie, you saw he invested only in water. Some of those water stocks have done amazingly well already. So he's probably a little bit early on the water call. But look, now they're talking about evacuating people from towns that run out of water. Look what happened at Cape Town. There'll be water trading an index as well. I think they do that in Chile. So you've got to listen to these people, because the only thing they get wrong is the timing.
Yeah, more timing, of course, is always the most difficult part of the equation, isn't it? But, I agree with you. I think that, water and some of the environmental issues, I think, are going to be very significant ahead. And I'll be honest, if you look at what's happened in New South Wales over the last couple of months with all the fires and, just the thousands and millions of acres that are now scorched out, this is unprecedented. And I think it's further signals of, if you like, more uncertainty in the environment here and therefore in the markets here. So, yeah, I think interesting times ahead, definitely.
Yeah, I think we're going a little bit doom and gloom. I think that's reality. But if you'd like to lighten this up, by all means.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now let's try that. So I know one of the things you were going to talk about was a little bit of a sporty angle, right?
Well, I think I like to. Last year, I predicted the Roosters and Richmond to win. I see Alex Rance has announced his retirement today.
Yeah.
And the hierarchy at Richmond were pretty pissed. So look, I think Richmond can win one more premiership. The team I really like, I think that will win a premiership within 3 years, is the Western Bulldogs. I really like what I'm seeing with them. GWS a threat, but I'll say Richmond one more year. Bulldogs, GWS, and I think West Coast with Tim Kelly look good as well. So looking at the NRL, Roosters again. I mean, it's kind of turned into who cares, really, hasn't it? Or do you go to Wynn Stadium much?
No. I don't really follow the footy or any other sports, to be frank. I don't have a lot of time nor interest.
Yeah, okay. So let's just pick the Roosters. I like what Parramatta are doing. I think Bankwest Stadium's going to be a bit of a fortress. And that brings us back to what Bankwest was bought for, bailed out by the Commonwealth Bank. Nothing to watch there. I think I like to watch up-and-comers. I like this tennis player called Stefanos Tsitsipas. If I can say that, he's Greek. He looks good. I think Federer, Nadal, Djokovic are going to fall off the perch a little bit. And I think Kane Nishikori is the next Tim Henman, who tends to come... He came fourth in a lot of things. You know, just couldn't quite make it.
Mm.
So I predicted 12% off Sydney real estate. I said Melbourne 10%. I think Kukulis reckons Perth will boom. I'm not too sure about that. I can't see a boom here in Perth anytime soon.
Well, I must tell you that I've seen people predict the boom in Perth for the last 5 years, right? Almost, religiously, and nothing's happened so far. So I'm not sure what would change this time around.
Well, I think net migration will mean that there's less people to buy more houses. Shouldn't that mean the prices go up? No, I'm just having a look there.
Hang on a moment. There are people leaving, so therefore there's going to be more.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I think it means prices go down.
But I think, isn't that the core logic way? No, sorry. But I think, what was it? I lost my train of thought. Oh, on Twitter, I've been noticing Cookie Boy has been keeping an eye on the Sydney listings. They're dropping by the day.
Yes, they are.
So what's happening? I think people are actually putting their house up, they're getting a stylus, they're using the Hampton styling, and they haven't got a buyer in sight, and they're pulling it. I think the agents are telling them to take it off the market. There's no way, known to man, these people are hoping to get high prices because they aren't going to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it's happening here in Perth. If you can't sell your house, you're not going to leave it stale on the market for months. And you don't want an agent in outer Western Sydney to say, look, Mrs. Smith, we're going for $1 million. I think you'll get 9, and then it doesn't sell at 9, and then the house down the street sells at 8, and suddenly you have your 20% correction. As I said, I think it's a real fragile piece, this housing market, and there's no foundations whatsoever, so I just can't get bullish about it. As I said before, Perth, probably 5 to 10% down. But what I'm noticing is, Martin, I look around the cafe strips and in the city a lot, and there's shops going under left, right and centre.
Yep.
So I don't know what you're going to do with the gaps. I was in Liverpool in the UK, and in some of those empty shops, they stuck ping pong tables. Maybe we can have mini golf, ping pong table, maybe a Space Invaders machine, but what's going to happen to the gaps?
Mm.
It just looks horrific, and a lack of crowds is going to, it snowballs, doesn't it?
Well, that's so right. I don't know whether you saw, I did a post with Joe Walker quite recently, going around Wollongong, right, which is quite close to me, right? And we basically were amazed at the number of vacant shops in the main strip there, right? Never seen it as bad before. And I had people all over the place, up from Queensland, from Victoria and other states too, all saying, we're seeing the same here, right? So I think this depressed retail sector is actually a pretty important, canary in the coal mine in terms of what's showing in terms of the economic lack of activity. And, of course, we know that the consumers aren't spending that much. So I think it really is quite concerning. It's probably as bad as I've seen it, and I've, been around a bit. But it seems to be so widespread.
Yeah, I was actually, I just get capped down to the Perth CBD. And I was in David Jones, and there was more staff than people shopping. I think David Jones, when they had the South African takeover, I think they're in a lot of strife, to be honest. I think they'll start closing stores. Myer wasn't much better. The days of buying a couple of blenders and tons of fruit and making money are over. I mean, thinking you can open a cafe, thinking you're the next Boost Juice, they're over. And that's speculation. I mean, I see a restaurant in Leadable. Every time someone tries a restaurant there, it goes broke. I've seen about 3 or 4. Now someone's trying a new business and it's a bad location. Chances are they'll go broke. Mm. And opening up a cafe, restaurant, a hip kid shop, that is pure speculation. And it's the end. People don't want to spend money on fancy stuff. They want to buy rubbish. So that's a surefire sign. And if, I don't know what Norton Street Leichhardt's like now, but our cafe strips are struggling.
Interesting. Well, Tony, as we come to the end of our chat, what's your new resolution going to be?
My new resolution is to be nice to people, but don't tell them about it. I'm going to do random acts of kindness and not expect anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way of doing it. I've just learned in life that I help a lot of people, and then you give someone your finger and they want your arm. So my resolution is I'll do nice stuff. I'll look after my kids. I'll look after my partner. And that's my resolution, and to stick to my guns and ignore Kakulis having a crack at me. That's my other New Year's resolution.
I think that's a really good one too. Tony, I really enjoyed chatting with you. Thanks for that. And I hope you have a good break over the Christmas New Year period. And we'll touch base again early next year and see how things pan out from there.
Okay, final message to your viewers, subscribers, all 30,000 of them. When in doubt, get the hell out.
I think that's really good advice. Tony, good to talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Martin.
Cheers.